Welcome to Hype, episode 58. We are back with all the usual hosts. Yay! This hasn't happened in like a month. I'm Selena and I'm here with Kyle, Pam, and Merima. So glad to have you guys back.
Yay!
I'm so glad someone was excited because it was literally
just me. I
feel
like it's my bad, so I should probably apologize.
Well, and then my power was out, so...
Don't apologize for your life being awesome. More speaking to Merima in this case. Power outage, she's not awesome. No. You guys, you did the Comic-Con special, which, by the way, I was so happy. I was, like, dancing, like, yes, they did it! Like, in my weird little house in the woods. But you must have... I mean, you just got back, like... Well, when did you get back, actually?
I got back last Thursday, so we're recording this Wednesday for me. So it's almost a week.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird that I've already been back a week. I know.
But you had fun in the Americas?
Yeah. No, it was terrible. Oh. Yeah, I really hate it.
Yeah. I imagine
that. But she had to go back because she was just sick.
We have to go back.
And Andrew and Kyle. Yeah.
These you got jacks, physically
got
sick.
Exactly. For convenience purposes only. Of course.
For all the freak couches across the country. No, it was great. Of course. I had a great time. I had maybe too good of a time, as my voice is now showing. So we'll see how we can. But yeah, it was fun. It's weird to be home, as always.
Well, you know, that's the plus side of losing your voice, is it always goes a little bit sultry on the podcast, you know? It's like, let's talk about Ant-Man.
It's a whole other kind of podcast.
Yeah. But awesome. So we have this week's show is a usual show, but as, I mean, you guys have probably noticed if you've been checking Hypeable, the news this week has been the slowest it's ever been. Like, nothing. Like, we've scraped together some news. There have been some news, but we actually do want to spend a little bit extra time on our first segment, which is How We Hype, because we've all seen a bunch of movies. Mostly Merima has seen a bunch of movies, so we'll make her talk a lot, and then she'll have no more voice left for the rest of the show. So yeah,
I see your plan.
Yes, this is why you don't have two stars.
So I can't complain about Spider-Man later, right?
Oh God,
and also,
yeah, we'll get
so
there.
So you can't be first in the news, like clearly.
Oh no!
Oh, she is first in the news. That's like tradition at this point.
Everything has been restored.
Yes. But yeah, so before we head into How We Hype and talk about all the movies that we watched, just reminding you as usual about the contact information. Hype is, of course, hypeable.com's podcast, all about entertainment news. Hypeable is hypable.com. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to our podcast post on Hypeable, which you find by going to the little lines in the left-hand corner of the screen and clicking the plus, and then you find all this cool content, including podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter at Hypeable Hype and Instagram on Hypeable Hype. It does exist, and we are working on it. You know, I'm actually, speaking of Instagram, well, you did the special, so it's not all bad.
Did one thing that you told me to. I'm sorry, Selena.
It's okay, but I was just gonna say, like, I'm, trying to, like, early days, but director of Inside Out is actually coming to Denmark next month to promote the movie because it comes out next month, guys. Did you know Inside Out comes out the end of next month? So, you know, if I manage to catch up with him while he's here, then I will do some Instagramming of that because that's like my Comic-Con. It's like one guy.
We will do some like flashback Comic-Con, like flashback stuff. I have a whole bunch of photos from Comic-Con. We can throw some up on the Instagram.
Awesome.
For you guys.
We can link it to the Twitter as well.
I promise I'll do that. I've said it out loud. Now I have to.
Fantastic.
It's like a contract.
It's a verbal contract. Yeah. So I think that's the information that you need. So let's just get to the fun stuff. Now I can see from the doc that everybody's talked about Ant-Man. So that's a good place to start. Or as I call it, Falcon Man. Because, oh my God, you guys. We're going to try to keep it as vaguely spoiler-free as possible, just because we don't want to alienate anyone who hasn't seen it yet. But, and also we're going to be doing a Hero Hype special on it, so we're going to get to share our more in-depth thoughts on that. I say we, because I've been invited on. I'm so excited, guys. Yay. So, so what did you guys think? Let's start there.
Well, now that's a more complicated question than it seems like.
Oh God.
I will say this. I am a huge fan of heist movies, and this is basically a comedy heist movie with ants and Paul Rudd. So if you look at it like that, I really enjoyed it. There were some problems with, like, the women and the representation.
You might say it wasn't what you were hoping for.
Classic jokes. Look, the best bit of the movie was the very last line of the last end credits scene, or the second end credits. The first one with the ant.
Yeah, where she goes, yeah, it's about time. Yes.
Yeah. That was the best bit. But, you know, I did enjoy it, maybe because I'm not so attached to the characters, so I could kind of separate myself a little more from it. But that said, there were obviously some problems that we'll talk about in our super positive Hero Hype special. It's going to be great.
But, you know, it's so great because our listeners love it when we get critical. You know, they just say, please, please, you know, critique it some more.
Yeah. Tell me about the problematic aspects. Yes. No, I did genuinely find it very entertaining, and it was different.
Entertaining?
From,
my God. Guys, wow. I could do this all day.
Selena, fire yourself for that pun. No. That was terrible. No, it was fun, and I liked it. Had a very different feel from the other Marvel movies, and I also feel like it did feel kind of like an Edgar Wright movie. Like, you could see his influence very directly on it when you're watching. So, yeah, I'm split. I'm in two minds.
Okay. What about Kyle and Pam?
I went for Paul Rudd and for San Francisco because they filmed a lot of it in my hometown.
Yes, I thought of you guys when I saw the bridge.
I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I thought it was going to. And also, side note, my brother is pretty much the personification of Michael Peña's character, like, except, like, just more extreme, like a more extreme version. So I just was, like, dying because it was just pretty much, like, an exaggerated version of my brother on screen, which was great. And yeah. And then I texted him. I was like, dude, like, this is you. And he's like, everybody's been texting. So now I feel, like, vindicated. And yeah, so I really, I enjoyed it for a multitude of reasons. But yeah, it was just, like, a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And I think you guys brought this up, like, a couple episodes ago. But considering that the hype around the movie was, like, not as big as some of the other Marvel films, I didn't really go in expecting much. So I was pleasantly surprised by what was there.
And Kyle, you spoke about it last week a little bit, didn't you?
I think I did. I don't remember if I did. But if I didn't, then I loved it. So
I remember that. You and Danya were, like, also talking about that guy that everyone's talking about.
Yes. Okay, yeah, that's true.
See, that's like, that was the one thing when I saw it in my cinema. Again, I feel like, you know, it's sorry, we're talking about this now. We're going to be talking about this, like, later today on another podcast. But that guy just did not connect to Danish audiences, at least not in my screening. It was like, it was so weird, huh?
Well, the thing is too, like, that makes sense. Like, I guess, I don't know, because, like, for me, I think, like, aside from just reminding me a lot of my brother, just the way that he represented, like, just Latino culture, like, it was like a satire on, like, a lot of the stereotypes. So if you grew up around that, like I did, because my family is partially from Mexico, like, it is really funny. And I think for, like, Americans, like, it might resonate more because, like, if you grow up in a diverse area, everybody kind of knows somebody that is similar to that.
Well, I feel was more that he was, like, you'd seen this character in a lot of other stuff before. Like, I felt like the jokes they gave him, those, like, talks that went from person to person, I felt like I'd seen it before. Like, I felt like all the jokes were, like, not original jokes. So it was kind of like I was watching it going, well, you know, I mean, that was done better in, like, How I Met Your Mother or, like, something like that, you know? But, and I also think there were some other things just from an international perspective, like the whole Baskin and Robbins thing. We don't have that here. Like, maybe if it had been Ben and Jerry's, we would have been laughing, but that was just, it was such a specific joke.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, it's not even like Baskin Robbins. Kyle can attest to this. It's, like, not, like, even a thing. Like, there's nothing really about Baskin Robbins. So the funny thing is that, like, why would Baskin Robbins know? Because he just, there's, like, I don't know. That's why it was so silly.
But
because it's not like there's never been like a heist at Baskin Robbins or anything like that. So it was just random. Mm. But like I could see how like that stuff like that might not translate over to certain things. But just, it was definitely like bro humor.
Yeah, it definitely was bro humor. That is absolutely true. And my brother saw it too, and he really, really liked it. And I just want to like to finish on a positive note. I think some of the amazing things in it, even though again, I didn't find it funny, but I did find it enjoyable. Like a sort of, this is how superhero movie can be really light and really funny and really sort of, the ant stuff. That when they went down to ant size was fantastic. Like how you imagined that world was just, I was blown away. Like there was a scene where he was running through the little carpet and I was, I love that stuff. Like macro, literally macro lens, the movie that was spectacular. And, I'm a big fan of Evangeline Lilly back from her Lost days. So just seeing her be awesome. And again, you know, Merriman's like biting her like right now. but there's a moment. Yes.
I just want to say there's a moment where I first saw the trailer and I saw Evangeline Lilly's character. And I legitimately thought it was the same exact character from Jurassic Park because they had the same exact character.
That's true. That is true. That's like the modern woman, like kick ass, but not too much kick ass. Yeah. Haircut. So yeah, so I mean all the stuff with the woman, that's actually, I do want to bring that up before we move on, because my brother, who like he literally does not see characters on screen. Like I think I said this somewhere on Facebook as well, that when he first saw Pepper Potts in the Iron Man film, he was like, oh look, it's the girl who plays Buffy. So he's completely face blind when it comes to women. He's all about the hot guys. He's a lot like you, Kyle. Now, the more I think, but he came out of the movie and I was like, oh, did you like the movie? And he was like, yeah, Paul Rudd was amazing. And then he sort of looked at me and he goes, but you know what? It was really strange that lady wasn't like, didn't have powers. And I was like, yes! You know, when even someone like my brother sees it, it's like impossible not to see it. I thought you were ending
on a positive note.
No. I meant to, but I was just, actually, it is kind of a positive note because I was just saying like the movie made it so obvious that it was so dumb that she didn't have the powers. So I feel like people are talking about it now in a way that they like, because before that, you know, whenever Unhypeable, we were like, oh, we need more women in these films. People were like, no, you know, like really angry, like, how dare you? This is not the way it should be. And it's perfect the way it is. But I feel like when the movie like calls itself out, I feel like it's okay for us to do it as well, because we can just say, well, it was in the movie. You know, she said it herself. Why the hell am I not Ant-Man? You know? So it just changed the conversation a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree 100%. Let's talk about it on here.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I don't think that was their intention, but I think that's what's happening. So I kind of like that. But okay. So to finally end this on an actual positive note, Falcon is probably my favorite Avenger, and the amount of screen time he had in this like totally exceeded my expectations. So I was so happy to see him in this and just to see him be funny and badass and all that stuff. The final end credit scene also just made my heart soar for spoilery reasons. Scene. Oh God, you guys, let's move on that. So we all have that image in our heads. Paper Towns is another movie that some of our hosts have watched.
Is that the segue?
That's the segue. That's all I got.
Okay. I was waiting for a pun. Yeah, I saw Paper Towns. Let me talk about it now after that segue. I don't know. I liked it, kind of. It was very, like, happy, cheerful. I am not being coherent. Let me try the sentence again.
Okay.
I did like it, but I think that it cut out a lot of the book, what made the book good. That didn't bother me as much, probably because I am not like the hugest fan of the book. Like the book is fine. It's just, you know, not one of my favorites. But I do think that it cut out a lot of what made the book like so interesting. It was a lot lighter. It cut out a lot of the angst and the complexity of the book, mm-hmm. which I don't know if was necessarily a good idea. That said, the movie that they made was a really fun movie. Like, it was a good kind of road trip, high school, prank, you know, whatever kind of movie. So, you know, if you can go into it, like, thinking of it like that, I think you'll enjoy it. Nat Wolff is amazing. I love him. I love him in everything I've seen him in. He's just so good. And I think he kind of makes it. But, yeah, I understand and I agree with people who are missing some of those other elements in it, especially because, you know, one of the main points of the book is, like, and I would argue that John Green doesn't necessarily achieve this in the book, is this idea of, like, breaking down the idea of the manic pixie dream girl. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people think he did. I would disagree. But the movie definitely doesn't achieve that. So, right. You know, that's kind of the point of the book. So it's a shame that that's not in the movie. But, yeah, it's for like, a teen kind of fun, cheerful movie, like, it's all of those things. And it's got a great soundtrack. So thumbs up for that.
Yeah. What did you think, Pam? Did you agree or?
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny because after I watched it, I was kind of like wondering to myself if maybe they took out a little bit more of the angst because they like so desperately wanted to make sure people knew that this was not a sob story like The Fault in Our Stars was. And I think that they really wanted to make a movie that was happy-go-lucky because, like, I don't know. Maybe they just wanted something happy after everybody has been associating John Green with The Fault in Our Stars if they hadn't been familiar with him before, which a lot of people haven't before his movies like hit the big screen. So, but other than that, I definitely enjoyed it for the Nat Wolff aspect as well. I think I said this before, but he's like one of my favorite movies that he's ever done is also by director Josh Boone. It's Stuck in Love.
Stuck in Love? Just,
yes.
I'm obsessed with that movie.
Yes, it's so good. And he just has really great line delivery and just like the way that he like uses his body in scenes. Like a lot of the time when he's playing these people, it's like it's more about what he doesn't do than what he does do. And to me, he's just like fascinating to watch because of that aspect. But I also really enjoyed the actors that played Ben and Radar because the interaction between them and Q was just so natural that you never would have guessed that they weren't friends. So they pulled that off really well. And yeah, it's like a fun summer movie. And like Marima said, the soundtrack is killer. So, you know, it's kind of like a win-win for that aspect. But
okay. Well, that's good. That's good to know. And what else have we got here? We have Trainwreck. What did you think of that, Marima?
I really liked it. It was very funny. You know, again, no, I mean, I generally enjoyed it. Like, Amy Schumer is, I'm a big fan of hers. I really like her show Inside Amy Schumer. And if you like her style of comedy, then you'll enjoy the film. You know, it had its problems, but like overall, it's very smart, very engaged, and very, very funny and, like ridiculous, but she's great. And it was a great kind of vessel for her type of comedy, I guess. Cause, mm-hmm. you know, she wrote it also and obviously starred in it. And Bill Hader is always fun.
You know, I've been watching like a bit of her stand up and it's so funny. I'm really like, I'm surprisingly, yeah. like I'm really liking it. I'm definitely going to watch it.
She's great. I really, really like her. Yeah. Okay. I would definitely recommend it. It's, you know, I mean, you know, it's for adults. So
yeah.
I mean, keep that in mind.
Yes, but, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Fantastic. So we've just got a few more things to wrap up here. Pam, do you want to talk about, is this a movie or is this a trailer? I hear people sort of saying different things.
It's a movie. It's actually, you can rent it on iTunes. Yeah, it's Before We Go, it's Chris Evans' directorial debut. So that's
your superhero tie-in here. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. But he's not playing a superhero. He's kind of going back to this
He plays other roles. What are you talking about?
I know,
about?
Right? He's going back to his roots with his, I guess, romantic dramedy situation. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's very much an indie film. For those of you who haven't heard of it, it's about two strangers who happen to cross paths at Grand Central Station in New York City. And because of circumstances that are thrown their way, they end up kind of spending the night together wandering around the city. And yeah, it was,
that sounds very... like before midnight, before sunrise, after midnight. I can never get those times right.
Well, they're all in the same series, right? The Richard Linklater movies. Those are, very similar along the same veins. Although I would argue that maybe those have a bit more of a happier ending in the long run. This one was like a little bit more bittersweet. It's probably not going to please everybody, but I really enjoyed it. Personally, I just really liked watching the characters slowly unravel as like on the screen as they learned more and more about each other. So, for that aspect, I enjoyed it, but
I like the tone that this is taking.
Yeah. For that aspect, I can see how this might not be everybody's cup of tea, but if you're a fan of Chris Evans, I mean, you know,
who isn't, guys, am I right?
An hour or so. So yeah, just something to keep in mind if you guys are looking for something to watch that isn't like necessarily superhero based.
Fantastic. And finally, just to wrap up our extra long How We Hype segment, do you want to just briefly, Martian, Watchmen, what do you go for, whatever you feel like?
Oh, you have so well, much to I read, I read The Martian on Pam's recommendation, and also because my favorite person, Matt Damon, is starring in the film. And it's so good. It's like, it's amazing. I mean, it's not the best written book ever, but it's so enjoyable. It's like a huge, okay, I'm not selling it well, but it's like a huge math equation. Bear with me. That's somehow super engaging. It's very funny. And if you read it knowing that Matt Damon's going to star in it, like you can very easily picture him in the role, but it's like, what is it? Was it Apollo 13? Is that the one where Apollo? It like breaks down, or is it 11? Is it 13? Someone will tell me. I can't remember. Anyway, in that where they're like trying to get them to fix stuff in space, and they're like, okay, they have like duct tape and like a can of beans or whatever, and they have to fix the side of a space shuttle. Like, that's the entire book. Just him being like, okay, I've got like these five weird things. Like, how can I fix this spaceship with this paperclip? Like, it's amazing. I was so into it.
It's like Home Alone in space.
Oh my God. It's so good. It's just fixing stuff in space. It's really fun.
I'm glad to hear that. I have the audiobook for that. I'm a little bit cautious about audiobooks of books that I plan to enjoy now, because it can be a really strange experience, but okay.
Yeah, no, I would definitely recommend. And then, yeah, I read Ghost Rider Watchmen as well, which, you know, I probably wouldn't recommend as much. Not because it's bad, just because it's like unedited and it's a draft. Mm-hmm. But I think that was a very interesting book, and that is a longer conversation for another time.
For sure. Yeah. We have a couple of articles about it up on Hypeable. We have your review, Merriman, then we have another one, which might be by Katie or might be from I don't remember. But which kind of like defends the book and says like why it has merit despite like how it kind of ruins childhoods everywhere.
I mean, I would agree with that. I don't think it's necessarily like as controversial as people think, not the contents of the book anyway. But you know, my review was basically saying like, if you are one of those people who is like, there are certain people who just love To Kill a Mockingbird like so deeply that they don't want anything to shatter that. If you're one of those people, like, just don't read it, because you'll just be mad about it. Oh, but when I was at the airport, I heard a mother like refer to her child as Atticus. That's the first Atticus I've seen in the wild, and I was like, "Oh
no,
poor child."
No, yeah. They're so okay. But to be fair, I used to work in a library. But there are so many little kids named Atticus, and I know,
but I had never like seen one in the wild.
Did he
look like an Atticus to you?
No, not really. I mean, he was just small and blonde. So like, I don't know. He was like 5 or 6, and I was like, you are going to have a tougher life than your parents thought. They thought you were going to be like, oh my God, Atticus, that's amazing. And now everyone's going to want to talk to you about this at a Watchmen. Yeah.
better get your stuff on that. And
yeah, seriously. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, read The Watchmen. Oh, I mean, The Watchmen. Read The Martian. I've just combined them into one. That would be the weirdest mashup.
Yes, ever. Atticus in space.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, fantastic. So that wraps up our How We Hype section. If our listeners have any thoughts on any of the many things we mentioned, or if there's anything you'd like us to talk about in the coming weeks, then make sure you tweet us at HypeableHype or find us on Hypeable.com. Now, moving into the news, I've been, I didn't hype it up so well earlier, basically said there were not any exciting news at all, but I think our opening story is actually pretty important.
Oh my God.
I'm so glad Merrima's here to talk about it, because otherwise we'd have had to leave it out, you know, because.
Oh my God.
It's kind of your territory.
I may have threatened people to leave this story for me, but I was at the panel at Comic-Con, so it makes sense. The Mockingjay Part 2 trailer that was released at Comic-Con that Andrew and I were bragging about having seen on our Comic-Con special has now been released.
It was released like 2 hours after our last podcast went up.
Of course it was. Yeah, it's been out for about a week now. I may have watched this 100 times or so since it came out, but I'm curious what you guys thought of it, because you didn't get to see it at Comic-Con.
Well, I just thought it was, I saw the mashup trailer with the Game of Thrones, which, where she was like, Snow must pay for what he's done, and you see like Jon Snow just like, oh,
that was so good. I saw that earlier today, and it was like the best thing I've seen on the internet today. But no, like in all seriousness, like chills. I can only imagine how awesome the vibe in that room must have been at Comic-Con, because it was just, yeah, it did a really great job just kind of building the tension. And that's what you want from a movie like this. So
I'm so excited. Like, the trailer just got me even more excited about all the things that are going to happen in the book. And my favorite part was like the very, very, very brief glimpse of Tigress that we saw.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's great.
That was pretty cool.
What's really funny is that I remember way back when they were casting this movie, and what was it? What's her name? The Australian from Pitch Perfect said that she wanted to play Tigress.
Rebel Wilson,
yeah. And she said, she's like, she made some joke about wanting to play Tigress in Hunger Games. And so ever since then, I thought for some reason that she was going to be playing Tigress. And so when I saw the shot in the article, I was like, oh, okay, that's not Rebel Wilson. Okay, thank God.
I would just like to interrupt this programming to convey the message that Merrima has just updated the Instagram. So everyone rush there now.
Yeah, if you look at it, you'll see that the hype Instagram has sort of turned into an exercise in showing my fingernails, but okay. I apologize. That it's we won't something. Do that.
I'll post that maybe on Thursday. I have some Comic-Con photos too. We can definitely post
anyway. Back to the regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, I am obsessed with this trailer, and you know, I still think that District 13 promo that they did is like the worst thing that this franchise has done, like promotional wise. But that said, yeah, when they played this trailer, the entire hall went off. It was amazing, and you know, it's nice now to be able to watch it and like pick up on all the smaller details in it, because, you know, we were watching it and also trying to like note down everything that was in it, of course, to let you guys know. But yeah, there's a whole lot of really small glimpses. I think for me, the thing that kind of killed me was the parachutes at the end that you see, which are just amazing. But just overall, you know, I'm probably the world's number one fan of the Hunger Games films, and I am so excited.
I think
for
that's
this.
Probably true.
Trailer is everything that I want it to be.
Amazing.
And I cannot possibly contain my excitement until this comes out. So get ready for a lot of hyping. Me talking about this on hype. Yeah. Until November.
I'm so happy. I really hope the movie lives up to, I'm sure it will, but just because it's so nice to hear that you being such a big fan just get so much out of this trailer and this franchise, because it's, let's face it, it doesn't happen very often that something we love actually lives up to our expectations. So,
so true.
That's awesome. Moving on to some superhero news. We've got spread out over the news segment because, of course, there's always superhero news. We can always count on that to feed our show. So we reported a few weeks or months back that Chris Pine was in talks to star opposite Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman. She's been making some really great statements, by the way, about the importance of the character and her sort of her responsibility. But this is not about her. You know, send the woman to the side. This is about Chris Pine, who it has been promised, if in case anyone were super worried, that Steve Trevor, the character he's playing, will be no mere love interest for Godot's Diana Prince, as there will be plenty of action to keep him busy, though plot details remain under wraps. That was the wraps quote. So I'm sure we're all super relieved, because I was worried that he was gonna like be pushed to the side and have to be rescued. So.
Oh man, imagine how good that would be though if he was a male love interest.
I know, like, right?
That'd be the greatest movie.
It would be super great, but I mean, okay, fair enough. He is a military guy, isn't he? He is like a pilot or something.
Yeah.
So I mean, and Chris Pine, I mean, that's nice. It's not going to be too much of a stretch considering his role in Star Trek. He's already sort of franchise tested. So this is fine, I guess.
I'm sure it's great. I just genuinely don't care. Like, I just want to see Gal Gadot, and yeah. I want to hear stuff about Gal Gadot, and yeah. I want to see Wonder Woman. And I lost my mind when she was in the Batman vs. Superman trailer. So, yeah, he'll be fine. I'm
sure. Zero opinion. Yeah, I'm sure. And in related casting news of big A-listers sort of jumping into the superhero fun pile.
Rachel McAdams is in talk to join Marvel's universe in the Doctor Strange movie. It's not like anything set. She's in very quote unquote early talks, but if she does get the role, she would likely be playing the female lead in Doctor Strange, opposite of Sherlock's Benedict Cumberbatch, who's playing the titular.
Are you just reading off?
I was. Nice. I'm actually really, really excited because I love Rachel McAdams.
People are super excited for this. Like, more excited than I thought they would be.
I don't know. I think she has a huge fan base, and I don't know necessarily where it's coming from.
The Notebook.
But it's there. I mean, there's The Notebook, there's also Mean Girls, and there's also Sherlock. Like, she is,
Sherlock?
Yeah.
The other Sherlock.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah, not Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock, which is actually interesting now that we make the connection now. No, but it's gonna be cool. We don't know which character she's going to play, but she's either gonna play one of two.
Well, this is my speculation.
Well, this is your speculation. This is Selena's speculation.
Yeah.
It's either Clea or Sarah Wolf. I don't know much about...
This is me being the comic book expert that I am, and Google powers have told me that if she's going to be playing the lead female, it's likely one of these two characters, because they are sort of like Doctor Strange's closest female companions.
So, and it would make sense to have her in a lead role because of her...
Well, she will be playing the lead. Just a question of who is the lead, because we don't know anything about the story yet, really. But it is, I mean, it is a little bit, it's still very early days, and there was a listener or a commenter on Hypeable who sort of made an interesting point. I can't get it to load right now, but who said that her way of talking about it kind of indicates that she's not really that into it, because she says it's still super early days, and I don't know where that's going to go, if it's going to go anywhere at all. So don't hold out hope just yet. But people have seemed, again, as I say, like super excited about this casting. So,
I mean, Rachel McAdams is amazing. So seeing her kick ass in a Marvel movie would be astounding.
Yeah, for sure. So speaking of a sort of superhero adjacents, there's another big trailer that broke this week.
Yes, we got a great full-length trailer for the upcoming James Bond film Spectre. And the first teaser they released, like, there was a lot more, like, it was very shrouded and, like, mystery and stuff. So this is pretty much, like, just your quintessential Bond trailer. You have everything from exotic destinations to Bond girls, and we finally get a good look at Christoph Waltz's character, and we get a little bit more information about Spectre. So if you have not maybe read Ian Fleming's novels, or you haven't seen classic Bond films, then you might not know what Spectre is. So I'm not going to go into that, because if somebody doesn't want to be like completely spoiled, then I think it would be more fun to watch the movie and kind of let that unfold and see how they do it on the big screen.
Can I ask you though, not to get too nerdy into it here, but Christoph Waltz, like, when he was first cast, he was like, I am not Blofeld. I am definitely not playing Blofeld. Do you think is he playing Blofeld?
I don't know. I feel like I have a good hunch that he probably is, because I just don't. I mean, okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. The first time we see Spectre is in Sean Connery's first ever Bond film, which is also the first Bond film that was ever made, which is Dr. No. It's the one that you reference in your article. Uh-huh. And Blofeld is like the nemesis in that movie, and he is kind of one that just kind of continues to haunt him. So I think that it would be a good place for them to introduce his character if they wanted to keep him on for a couple of films, or if they just wanted to do away with him. Like, it just makes sense to include him in Spectre. Mm-hmm. But I could just see them throwing us for a loop. So it's like kind of like I could see how it could work, but I could also see why they would want to stray away from it, because most diehard fans are probably expecting him to be Blofeld. So I have like no solid answer for you, but it is definitely something that everybody's like trying to figure out. So I guess we just have to wait and see.
It'll be interesting if they're really pulling like a double sort of, because they're setting him up so obviously to be the villain, but we did have that really quick glimpse at what's his face, anyway,
Finds, right?
No, Andrew Scott, is that his name?
Oh, right, Andrew Scott.
We still don't. I mean, there could be some like switcheroo kind of Scooby-Doo thing going on where it actually turns out that it's someone else being Blofeld.
Right. But I think it's so, probably like, Waltz would be a red herring, and then,
right. Like a straw man, but
which is
not.
Also very Bond-esque of them to do if they decided to do that. But I mean, like I think like we talked a little bit about this before the show. I'm not a big fan of Daniel Craig's Bond, but I am a big fan of Bond in general. So this trailer definitely gets me excited to see what this one's all about. I don't know. What, do you guys have any thoughts on this quickly? Because I know we're trying to keep this short.
Well, but I'm a big fan of Ben Whishaw, and I know you are also. And he looks like let me say it for you then, because it looks like he's going to feature a lot more in this than he had previously, and I like that. I think I may have said on the show before, like, I'm not a huge Bond fan, but I do enjoy some of the movies. I really like Skyfall, I like Casino Royale, and I like some of the old ones, but I haven't read any of the books, so, you know, it's kind of fun to go in with, like, as you say, I have no idea who like any of these people are, which is fun. And, you know, I think the trailer looks really good, even for people who are maybe very casual fans or like not really that big of a fan of Bond. It looks like a little different. Yeah. You know, it kind of follows the conventions of a Bond trailer while at the same time it's kind of showing something a bit different than we've seen. Like, he's kind of trying to go off the grid, and you know, it looks like it will be a fun time. I'm excited. I'll probably go and see it.
I also really like that he's got to work with these like just kind of villains' children. Like, he's working with one of the daughters of a villain to try.
And, is it Descendants? Is it the Disney movie? Is that what this is?
Kind of, I guess. Yeah, at least that's what I got from the trailer. Oh, but yeah, so I don't know. It just like, they always do such a good job with these films. It's just like good classic mystery and action all rolled into one. So yeah, it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. And if not, we always have Ben Whishaw.
I got really excited to talk about The Descendants when you brought it up. And then I was like, wait, no, we're talking about James Bond.
The Descendants, I watched the first like 6 minutes of that or whatever. That's like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
So bad.
We will talk about it. It comes out like this weekend, right? So
I think so.
We can talk about it next week. All right, we did have another trailer this week. This one with more eye candy. That's the segue I'm going with it.
Okay, that's fine.
We had a new a new trailer for Maze Runner Scorch Trials. This is actually the trailer. I'm pretty sure this is the trailer that they showed during the panel at Comic-Con. But it definitely looked like it. But when I watched it, I was like, is this a trailer that we've seen already? I genuinely don't. You know, it gives us a nice look at some of the new characters. We get a look at the Kranks. We actually saw a really long extended clip of one of the scenes that's in here, which is like the chase scene with the Kranks that I talked about a bit on the Comic-Con special. But basically, it's creepy as hell. So, I think they were done really, really well. And it was, you know, reasonably terrifying, even watching that in a huge hall with like surrounded by, you know, 6,000 other people. So I think it's going to be good. I really like the look of this. I actually haven't read Scorch Trials because I'm not a huge fan of the Maze Runner books, but I really liked the film and I'm very excited to see this. This is like one of the rare occurrences where I actually like the films better than the books, just because I think the way they're written kind of lends itself more to a visual medium.
Absolutely.
Of storytelling.
It's almost like he wrote it intending it to be a movie. Right. You know, which isn't totally unrealistic that he did that, because it is, you know, one of those YA sort of action-y dystopian stories that we get a lot at the moment, you know? So I feel like it's almost like the books are almost not to bring down James Dashner or anything, but I feel like the books are almost made so that there could be a movie.
Right. I know some people have been saying that this trailer looks very different from the books. So I can't comment on that. I don't know if any of you guys have read past the first Maze Runner book, but yeah, I would agree with you, Selena. And I don't think that's like a dig on him. I think that's, you know, he's done something really well. Like, he writes in a really visual kind of engaging style.
It's like that other book that that we, not to get sidetracked here, but that I really want to talk about at some point, which Kyle turned me on to, which is Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic book, but that is written like a movie as well. Like, you write it going, this should be images on the screen. You know, like,
well,
images in the book.
So.
Yeah, it will be. But there are just those kinds of books that are... Anyway, that's just a writing style.
I would agree with you, but yeah.
Okay, so moving on now to our fun story. Yay! Let's watch ourselves try not to freak out about this one. So our favorite remake, Spider-Man, has officially got its writers. John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. Okay, have signed on. They were rumored a few months ago, and now it's official. And they spoke out about their plans for the series. And again, you know, like I was saying with Chris Pine not just being a love interest, don't worry, guys, because I know you were all worried that this Spider-Man movie might be different from the other ones, but we can promise you that he's going to be the exact same superhero geek that he's always been. And apparently they feel the need to point this out like it's a new thing. They told Deadline, we were definitely attracted to approaching it from the standpoint of a real kid, a high school geek who, just because he gets superpowers he doesn't really want, doesn't become a superhero right away. It's a long journey, they continue. You don't want him to become someone capable of saving the world by second act. There's a wish fulfillment opportunity here in that a few superheroes are given powers like this and then has to navigate how to use them in a responsible way. Peter Parker is a geek like us and one of the very few superheroes. I love how like they have to use that like quantifier, like of the many, 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 many superheroes, he's one of the very few.
Well, it's not even that, of the many, many, many Peter Parkers.
Yes. Like. he said he's a geek like us and one of the very few superheroes who would actually read comic books, while most superheroes are very handsome adults with superpowers. This is a real kid we're talking about. So go home, all you other Peter Parkers.
This is like the most pointless interview I've ever read in my life.
So stupid.
But it's so funny.
The best part is they thought it was news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but...
The only appropriate response to this is that gif of Phoebe from Friends yelling, this is brand new information. which Friends fans will get. But like that is the only response to this. Like just that, and that's it. There's nothing else. Yeah,
I'm so over Peter Parker origin stories. Like I would have preferred it just being like, all right, here's Spider-Man. He's dealt with this stuff. You're Spider-Man.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of things that we would prefer. Like,
well, when he was like
literally anything other than this, we would prefer. Oh, yeah. Basically,
it's just so funny because it's like I know that Andrew Garfield, everyone's saying, oh, he was like a little too handsome, blah blah blah. But have we already forgotten Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was exactly this character, just a little bit older, yeah. Like 2 years older.
Yeah, he was the geekiest of geeks. Oh, so Andrew Garfield was still set up as this kind of like nerdy type. I mean, maybe his casting didn't necessarily fit that, but that was the character that they wrote for him for sure. So, you know, they're all the same. It's the exact same movie. They're making the same movie again, and they've just confirmed it. It's great.
Yeah, it's yeah, basically. So let's just move on, I guess.
Well, to the next story. What's going to be? Well,
speaking of things that people are angry about,
we know one movie is going to be at least more horrible than this Spider-Man movie. Pixels came out, and it has been universally just like completely panned and by critics literally everywhere. I don't think there's a single critic who wrote a positive review of this movie, which is what I was expecting, like, it to be pretty bad, but not this bad.
Have you guys seen it? Has anyone seen it?
I have not.
I've seen it.
Adam Sandler's in it, so I'm not going to see it.
My brother is a fan of Adam Sandler, so he, like,
and what did you
I'm not a fan of your brother anymore.
No. Well, I don't want to talk about it. It was just so bad. But you know what is funny is that, yeah, every single critic is saying this is horrible, horrible, horrible. Fans, like, people actually like it. Like, people actually went to enjoy it. It's done really well with the under 18, male crowd. Go figure. And my brother actually, he liked it. He thought it was funny.
I think if you go into it expecting it to be a bad movie, and you're just going into it to see how bad
it's going. If you like Adam Sandler's usual shtick, then you'll like it because it's exactly like everything else he does.
Yeah. So, but like the reason I picked this story is just because like I love all the comments from all of the reviews. Like it's Contact meets Armageddon meets sticking knives into my eyes. From The Verge.
They were so rough. That's why I wrote up the story, because it's like it's not usually something we do, but I just thought there was real interest, like a real like interest factor in just compiling these reviews that were just scathing, like absolutely brutal. They tore this movie to shreds, and it's just, and everyone did it, and it was really funny.
It's so great.
So there's definitely entertainment factor in reading these reviews, and I think, you know, ultimately, like, people are saying in the comments, they're going like, oh well, people, like, if you don't like Adam Sandler movies, you should just not watch them. And they're going, like, these critics are always so hard on Adam Sandler. But you kind of do have to.
Yeah, because his movies are terrible.
Well, yeah, exactly. You do kind of have to stop and go, well, if movie critics are on, like, a broad spectrum, really hard on Adam Sandler for his movies, maybe that's because they are not very good movies. Like maybe because again, like these, we are paying these people's wages. I always come back to this. Like we are feeding their egos and their careers and their success and their million-dollar mansions. And I think the only thing we can do aside from like paying to see movies or not paying is offer our critique, is offer our opinions, is form these dialogues. And for movie critics, obviously this is their job. And I think if they're all coming out and saying this movie is soul-sucking, it is shallow, it is sexist, it is blah blah blah, like I think that's something that we should be paying attention to, and it's not something we should just shrug off and go, oh well, you know, just let him do his job kind of thing. So it was interesting, it was a fun article to write up for sure.
And I thank you for writing it because it made me laugh.
Yeah, and I'm glad. That's kind of my intention for it to be a bit interesting.
But on to more serious news.
Well, yeah, I guess so. So because we're all such big fan of sequels here on Hype, we just want to make sure that you guys are aware that two sequels are getting sequels. There is Pitch Perfect. My browser is being such a bee right now. Like, it won't let me load anything from Hypeable. But Pitch Perfect 2, 3, Pitch Perfect 3, right? Is getting a release date. So Anna Kendrick and Brittany Snow and some other cast members from Pitch Perfect 2 are coming back in 2017. So are you guys excited? Has it been enough? Do you think it lends itself to a third movie?
I think it's unless they change the formula for that movie series, it's just going to be exactly the same movie for a third time. It's just going to be really boring.
I feel like I don't care that it's this third movie for the third time. I love that it's like a female ensemble. They're really funny. The second one was directed really well. I thought Elizabeth Banks did a great job. I like the songs. I like the cast. I like the characters. Like, I don't care that it's not like a groundbreaking plot or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still a fun, enjoyable movie. I really like the second one, and I know a lot of people, I think Kyla included, didn't really like it, but I think that's because maybe expectations were a little too high for what this is versus for what people wanted this to be versus like what it actually is.
Mm.
It's not pretending to be like a really serious franchise. It's just a fun, weird thing about some weirdos who like to sing together. And like, I'm fine with that.
I still haven't seen the second one. Because I still don't think it's out yet here. I feel like Hypeable should like pay for me to go to London for a weekend and just watch all the movies that like I need to have seen. Because it's kind of ridiculous.
Yes.
Gonna bring that up to Andrew now.
Yeah, I'll pitch that.
But so Pitch Perfect is one. It's coming out on July 9th. Numbers. Maybe he can pay for an English course for me also. July 21st, 2017. Then the following year, in June 2018, the Jurassic World sequel, which I guess is technically number 5, is set for release, bringing back Bryce Dallas Howard with her superhero sidekick haircut, as Kyle so brilliantly pointed out, and Chris Pratt. I had to go through all the Chris's in my head. I was like, Evans, Pine, Hemsworth, Pratt. There you go. So, yay! Everyone is super stoked and surprised because we did not see this coming at all.
Hey, Pitch Perfect 3 comes out on the 10th anniversary of Deathly Hallows being released. Do you think that that's a sign? Yeah, I was like, that sounds familiar.
It's not a coincidence, I'm sure.
It's actually Harry Potter 8.
Yeah, that's what magic. It is.
Yeah.
The magic of song. As Dumbledore would say, music is the best kind of magic. Okay, let's move on.
Anyway.
Having a moment. We're 2 days away from July 31st, so I guess this is kind of our...
Don't ruin the surprise. I'm going to talk about it later.
Oh, sorry. Stepping on your cues here.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, no. Turn back the tape. It's so good that we have editing powers.
Time turner.
Oh, my God. You can't use it for... Anyway.
This is not dinosaurs. A podcast about Harry Potter.
Wizards versus dinosaurs. Now, there's a movie I would like to see. I'm kind of excited. I thought it was good, and obviously it was hugely successful, so there's absolutely no surprise that they're doing another one. The only tiny, tiny thing I have is that the more projects Chris Evans, Hemsworth, Pine, Pratt. There you go. I don't know why I struggle with this so much.
I'm just imagining them like cycling through your brain like a game show thing.
They are like their faces like on a loop. Yeah, that's exactly how it happens. But so like every project that he does just means that there's a less chance that he'll be Indiana Jones. So that kind of makes me a little bit sad. But this character is pretty much Indiana Jones anyway, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
He's not Indiana Jones. That's fine with me.
I was pitching this on Twitter that I feel like for this next one, just to go in a different direction, the drama comes because like someone has figured out how to engineer dinosaurs as pets. So like all over the world, people start having these tiny versions of dinosaurs, like a tiny, tiny little velociraptor, like, and then the pets like start rebelling against their owners, and it's this,
I mean,
like,
they kill
horrible...
them. It's those stories where, like, someone gets eaten by their pet boa constrictor and everyone's like, oh my god, I can't believe their pet boa constrictor ate them. It's
like, you shouldn't keep pumas as pets. It's your own fault. Yeah. it would be like that movie, Gremlins, is that it? No, that's not it. It's someone else where they have these little fluffy creatures and they start eating everyone. So it would be like that, basically, but with tiny dinosaurs. I think it would be
amazing.
That
sounds good. You should write it.
Right? Why not, right? Why the hell not? Yeah. So that's my pitch. There you go.
If it's not number two, it can be number three when that's inevitably announced.
Yeah, for sure. they're gonna need ideas at some point. So that wraps up our movie news. We have just a couple of TV show stories. Still superheroes, of course. Yes. Because, of course.
Well, this next story is actually probably going to make a lot of people on the site happy, because Netflix announced during this year's TCA event that Marvel fans can expect a new series every 6 months or so. The announcement was made by the chief content officer over there, whose name is Ted Sarandos, and he kind of just talked about their plan now that Daredevil has done so well on the streaming site. So pretty much they're going to be focusing on just a team of superheroes that happen to live in the Hell's Kitchen realm of New York City, which is obviously where Daredevil takes place. And they're going to be focusing on Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and the Iron Fist. And then eventually they'll all converge into this Defenders special that they'll be airing after they've all been established. So yeah, it's really exciting news. Of course, we already knew that Jessica Jones starring Veronica Mars as Kristen Ritter was already in production. So yeah, it's just a really good time still to be a fan of Marvel and Netflix. And if you don't have a Netflix subscription yet, you should probably get on that soon, because there's going to be stuff you want to watch.
Yeah, even though aren't they raising their prices?
Probably, yes.
I heard that. It's like, no.
Inflation, it's a wonderful thing.
This is so exciting. Marvel TV, I think, is like where it's at right now. They're doing really well in their TV shows. So if people are feeling maybe dissatisfied with the films, then you should check out some of the TV.
That's what Mikhail told me. Like, great. She gave me the best, most compelling argument to give S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. another chance, because we were talking about on Facebook about Ant-Man, and just she was saying how basically, like, giving up on Marvel has been like a real big possibility, because they just, the way that they just completely lack, like, underrepresent their female characters is just getting very, very, very apparent at this point. But then she says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, despite like all its problems, actually does a really good job with this. So it's like,
yeah,
on
Agent
Marvel,
Carter, obviously.
Obviously Agent Carter. Yeah. It's like Marvel TV shows kind of put the women sort of.
Right. Yeah, and Daredevil, like, does a great job with showing disability, and, you know, there's, like, a lot of diversity going on in their TV universe.
But they always say that TV is more progressive than movies.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For a reason, I think, because, like, there's more time to dedicate. You don't have to fit everything into 90 minutes. You can stretch it into, like, 10 hours or however many episodes you've got, which makes a difference. Because if you're cutting something down into, like, 2 hours, the first things that get cut is anyone that's not a white dude. Mm. So, yeah. You know, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm a very big fan of the Marvel TV universe, and Daredevil was amazing. I talked about that so much. Seriously, it was amazing. So I'm excited to see what they do with these other characters, and it's especially Jessica Jones looks like it's going to be very exciting. The cast looks amazing,
yes.
And Netflix shows have amazing production value.
Is that everything. Oh my god!
Yeah, it's going to be great. So this is very exciting news.
Yeah, and with on David Tennant, Kyle, there's your transition. Jump on it.
Oh, nice. So Doctor Who series 9 premieres this fall. And actually, like they've been doing the past couple of years, BBC America and BBC in general.
Oh my god, Kyle! What kind of transition was that? You had Tennant, you had 9, you had anyway.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, early/slash late. It's fine.
So, there will be a presentation of the season 8 finale, the 2-part finale, Dark Water and Death in Heaven, in real D 3D and Dolby Atmos surround sound.
Ooh,
on September 15th and 16th at your local time. So if you want to find a showing near you, you can go to the Doctor Who website. But the interesting part about this is that in addition to airing these two final episodes of season 8, they're also going to do a special prequel scene to the first episode of season 9. So Doctor Who doesn't officially come back until, let's see, what date is it? September 19th. So you get to see a couple of scenes, or at least one scene from the show, a few days early if you go to the 3D showing. So if that's your cup of tea, go ahead and take a look. I know Whovians can't wait to get more of Peter Capaldi as the Doctor, so it's going to be pretty cool. Although I'm hoping that they have an option to watch it in not 3D, because...
It hurts my brain.
3D. It does.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's terrible, but I'm actually really excited about Doctor Who. I've actually fallen in love with Doctor Who a lot more recently.
Have you caught up?
Yeah, I've been caught up.
Oh, great. That's really good to hear. I'm so relieved, because I was like, oh no, we're all going to be like...
Oh no, I think Peter Capaldi is a fantastic Doctor, and I think the series so far is going in a really great direction, and I can't wait to see where season 9 goes.
Mm-hmm. Peter Capaldi is intriguing. Is fantastic. It's again, him and Clara, like their chemistry, just I didn't feel it. You know, it's one of those reasons I kind of, let's say, I took a break. But Peter Capaldi as the Doctor, I've never not liked him. Like, I think I saw some interviews he did at Comic-Con this year. Such a great guy, such a funny, just such a great person to have on your show, I think.
Yeah, he's so awesome, and he's such a genuine human being, and really,
he's not a robot, you know, he's not a Dalek in disguise, you know, that's always a good
thing.
He's
not a Cyberman, mm-hmm. which is really important, I think.
Plot twist. Season 10.
So, I don't know, I'm really excited. I know a lot of people aren't excited because Clara is back for yet another season. A lot of people want her out, and I know people aren't really happy with the way Stephen Moffat is taking the direction, but I think Capaldi has enough in his tool belt to bring back the show. And plus, we still haven't gotten the explanation as to why he has his face, and that is coming up. So,
I'm excited for that. I was waiting for that, and it didn't happen.
So I'm going to be watching for that and that alone, basically.
Cool. And we have on HiBiBle, we have a list of 20 things we want to see in Doctor Who Series 9 and one thing we don't. So definitely go check that out if you're a Doctor Who fan and you're interested in more of our thoughts. And our final news story?
So we have got some news for Full House fans that are just really excited for the upcoming spinoff Fuller House. I know that the Olsens said supposedly they weren't going to be back, but it turns out the door isn't actually as closed as we all thought. So this was kind of an interesting development. This again came from the TCAs, and
what does the TCA stand for? If you can
the Television Critics Association. They do it twice a year, I think. They do it once in the fall, once in the summer, and it's just like a way for all the networks to kind of showcase the programming that's going to be coming up.
Great.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, that is that it always takes place in and around the LA area. So for those of you who don't remember, need a little bit of a refresher, the producer for Fuller House, Robert Boyette, said in May that the Olsens were not going to return for sure. So this was obviously a big blow for people that were hoping the whole cast of the Tanner family would get back together for this reboot. I'm sorry, not reboot, it's a spinoff. And then Ted Sarandos, who also gave us the news about the Netflix Marvel situation, said that the ladies are, quote unquote, teetering on whether or not they'll be around for Fuller House. So, again, it's a little wishy-washy still, but I guess the door isn't as closed as we all thought.
You know what I think this story is? Like, not to rain on your excitement, but I feel like they're just saying this to, like, try to create some hype around the show.
It's a good buzz story. And to be honest with you, like the show has gotten a lot of buzz over the last couple of days because the cast is finally back on set together, and like John Stamos and Candace Cameron Bure have all been tweeting photos of being reunited. So it's definitely a good way to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, it's almost like a way to, for the fans that were like, oh well, I'm not interested in if the Olsen twins aren't in it. Now they see this news and they go, oh well, maybe they'll be in it. So maybe I'll check out the stills. Maybe I'll get They're like luring them in with the promise of the Olsen twins.
Although either way, I mean, we've still got a ways to go if this is something that you're interested in, because it's not set to premiere till next year sometime on Netflix. So yeah, that's pretty much the story. It's very wishy-washy, and it's very intriguing that they decided to bring this up now, like you said, Selena. So I wouldn't hold your breath if you're like really hell-bent on Michelle Tanner being in this spinoff, but I guess there's always a possibility.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see, I suppose.
Exactly. And we can all cringe watch together.
Yay! Yay! Okay, so that's the end of the news segment. Thank you so much, guys. We have our TV show of the week segment coming up. I see that let's start with Kyle and Scream, and then we'll get into Merrimas' excitement afterwards.
I'm just gonna say I started Scream, I think 3 weeks late now. It started a couple weeks ago, but it's really good. I never really watched the Scream movies, so I don't have a lot to base that on. But as a new fan, just kind of looking into the show, I was pretty scared, like, on the pilot in the second episode. I was just like, oh my goodness. And I'm actually really happy about that, because I started watching American Horror Story because I was like, all right, it's American Horror Story, then it's going to be scary. And much to my dismay, it was not really that scary. So, Scream is actually scaring me to the point where, like, I want to sleep with the lights on, and I'm loving it. So,
okay.
Which is great. So, well, if you haven't caught up with that, you should.
Yeah. People have been really, like, surprisingly excited about this. I'm glad that it's not, like...
And it takes place in... Okay, it's set in the city of Lakewood, which is where I live currently, which is a really, really small city. Really, like, and the high school that they filmed it at is literally behind my house.
Oh my god, that must be so terrifying.
It's so weird.
You know what? I just realized until this very moment, I thought Scream and Scream Queens was the same show.
Oh,
like, because they've got a what's her face? Emma Roberts is in this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that she was
Yes.
No. Kyle, don't confuse me. You're the one who's seen
it. Emma Roberts is not in this one. She's in Scream Queens.
Oh, my God. Okay. See, that's where I mess it up. I really mess it up. It's because they're, like, similar shows, right? Because they're both horror, and it's both Scream, and it's...
One's Fox and one's MTV.
Well, that means nothing to me, so that's why it's so hard to differentiate. But okay, so Scream, the one based on the Scream movies, and it's more serious. Because Scream Queens is more of, like, a joke.
No, yeah, Scream is definitely, like, a more serious toned show. It's a murder. It's, like, about a murder. And murders happen in the show, and it's all very scary and whatnot. Scream
Queens. Well, let's hope that this one does better than Eye Candy.
Right? Yeah, let's hope.
Okay. So, fantastic. And the other show we have to talk about, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you like the show, Merma.
Unreal. I'm so it's obsessed unreal. With it. Oh my god. Okay, so let me tell you, Selena has been talking this show up so much, and I really, really want to watch it, but, like, I was very busy before I was traveling, and then Andrew was going to watch it, and so I told him he had to wait until I got to his place, and then we could watch it together, because, like, that's super adorable. And anyway, so, yeah, I started watching it at his place. We ended up watching, like, I think it was up to... There had been 7 episodes that had aired, and we watched them all in, like, 2 nights or something, because we were just, like, powering through it, and I became, like, very quickly addicted to it, and yeah, it's amazing. I love it. It's, like, insane, and all of the characters are like awful people, but I love Quinn with all my heart. I think she's like the most amazing. She's so good.
I love that.
She's like such a horrible person, and I like identify so much with her. So I don't know what this says about me. No, I genuinely just like really love.
I just
Constance
feel like you could, if you could be like her in real life and get away with it, that would just be perfect.
Right. I'd like to think I have a few more morals than she does, but I really like the actress, and she was actually the only person in this apart from Cormac McLaggen, who I had seen in something.
Oh, Constance Zimmer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what about Shiri Appleby? Did you not watch Roswell?
No, I haven't seen it. Yeah. Well, so, you know, I feel like everyone kind of has, but then it's just full of a lot of random actresses and actors, a lot of actresses. And, it was funny because when we were watching, they kept playing ads for like other Lifetime movies and stuff in between. And I kept seeing the actresses in the ads for the other things. And I was like, do they exclusively work on Lifetime? Is that what's happening here? But anyway, it's amazing. It's like this fantastic, super meta critique on like reality shows and consumerism and like feminism and capitalism. And it's just, it's so intense. And, you know, I think it's so well done. And now that I have seen more of it, I want to go back and read that article you wrote, Selena, when you reviewed the pilot, because I did read that at the time, but you know, I hadn't actually seen the show. So I want to go back and read that and, you know, maybe write something about it. Cause yeah, I'm just obsessed with it. It's so good. And the season one finale is next week. And I genuinely don't know how it's going to play out. And like, it's being renewed for season
two. Who's going to get the guy?
I mean, I just, not that.
No, like,
I think it's pretty rare that you have a show where like you actually can't see things coming on it, you know, like it actually surprises you every week, which is insane. And there's like a season two and I have no idea how that's going to work. I'm just like so into it at the moment. It's like, it's basically the one TV show that I'm watching. So, yeah, I love it. I can't recommend it enough. And, you know, I am not a fan of reality TV at all. Like, I would never in my life watch The Bachelor, even like as a fun joke. So, you know, I think it's interesting, like someone from my perspective can still watch this and like enjoy it. And I just think it's really layered, you know? And
I just love like, cause that's me as well. Like I do not watch reality shows, not even as you say for like hate watching. I can't with them, but this show, it confirms everything that we already know about reality television, like how it's made and how constructed it is and how fake it all is and how it's all played for ratings and for shock value, basically. And it's just, it's really, it's almost like comforting. Like even though the show itself, the people are like even more horrible. So it's like a trick. It's like a catch-22. Like you're watching this with the same sort of salaciousness as someone watching actual reality television. But this is more real because it admits that it's not real. And it also admits that reality TV is not real. And it's like, it's this weird, like, as you say, like so meta, like so, it works on so many levels. And it's
And it's also like just engaging and entertaining. Like if you are a big fan of reality TV, I'm sure you could watch this and like get a similar kick out of it that you would get from watching something like The Bachelor
or
whatever. Cause it is, you know, structured like a soap opera. And
I think people who watch
like that,
I think people who watch reality television also don't mind having something like this kind of quote unquote expose reality television, because they're like, you're looking, when you watch reality television, you're looking for the exposure. You're looking for the shocks, and you're looking for the like people to get like called out for what they really are. And that's kind of what Unreal is doing with reality TV, right? So.
Right. I think, yeah, it's an interesting idea, because you watch Unreal to kind of see what it's actually like on a reality show, because, you know, one of the creators of it used to work on The Bachelor, and people watch Unreal to kind of get an idea of what that's like. But then Unreal is a fictional show. So like, what are you actually gaining from watching it? Do you know what I mean? It's like you say, there's so many layers. It's so complicated. Yeah. It's just so good. I'm just so into it. I can't recommend it enough. I've never watched anything like this in my life. I've never seen a show like this. And, it's just very, very clever. And, You know, I think it's also rare that you can watch a show where, like, you basically hate every single character on it and yet you still want to watch it, you know? So that's a probably testament to the actors and to the writing as well. But yes, I cannot recommend it enough. Everyone should watch all of it and then watch the finale next week. There's only 9 episodes, so you can totally do it in a day.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up TV show of the week. I hope everyone who listens is going to go watch Unreal now, because that was a hell of a recommendation.
That's your homework.
Yes. And staying with Merrima, we're going on to Hot on Hypeable.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of stuff going on Hypeable. This kind of ties in with what we've been doing, our segment from the start of the show. We've had a lot of articles about Paper Towns, because that just came out, that you can check out. First of all, I went to the Paper Towns press conference when I was in the States, and so I got to speak to John Green and Nat Wolff and some of the rest of the cast. I started a little bit of an argument between the cast unintentionally, so you can read about that in my report. And, you know, they talked a little bit about some of the changes, especially the change at the end of the film that I don't want to spoil if people haven't seen it. So, you know, that was interesting to, like, get their take on that. And then I also wrote about some of the book to film changes that I liked. You know, I mentioned at the start, I wasn't necessarily a big fan of the change of tone, but I think there were some changes that kind of made the story work a little better, especially for screen. So, people are agreeing and disagreeing as always. You can share your thoughts in the comments there. And then, going back to the book, we have an article that Jen did about some of her favorite quotes from the Paper Towns book, and, you know, just celebrating the book itself separate from the movie and why she thinks it makes it the best of John Green's book. So again, a slightly controversial statement, but you can check those out. Then, as Selena mentioned before, it's Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling's birthday later this week on 31st of July. And, you know, any excuse to write about Harry Potter, we will take literally any excuse on Hypeable. So you can expect a lot of Potter-themed articles throughout the week. But we kicked it off this week with this fun article Andrew wrote up about this Goblet of Fire fan theory that was a very interesting idea about how the series could have played out differently if Cedric hadn't been the champion in Goblet of Fire, if it had been the Slytherin who applied instead.
I love this theory so much.
Yeah, it's so in depth. It's so considered and it's so interesting. And it's weird. You know, I really like those things where you go, what if this one thing changed? And then how would that impact everything else? And, you know, it's, I think it's very well thought out that what these people are saying. So, yeah, it would definitely change things, maybe for the better, maybe for the worse, you know, depending on your opinion. But I love this theory. I thought this was very insightful and offered something that I hadn't thought about in terms of Harry Potter before, which is, you know, maybe rare because we've been thinking about this for so many years now. So it's nice that there are still things that, like, can surprise and interest us. So yeah, so look out for more Harry Potter articles coming out this week. Some movie things and some book things and some just weird, plain Harry Potter fun things. And then one more article I want to give a shout out. Brittany wrote this really good article about the new American Horror Story Hotel, because I guess there's been like 1,000 people cast in it. And, you know, she wrote a very considered article about whether that was a good or a bad thing, whether it might suffer from overcasting, as she says. So if you're into American Horror Story, you probably want to check that out, because she writes a great article and it's an interesting perspective.
Fantastic. So you can check out all of those things on hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com. I feel like it should be a song. We'll make a transition song for it next. So finally, to wrap up the show, we have some great listener feedback. So the first comment, I'm going to ask Kyle to read it. It's pretty lengthy. It's from Alex Hopper, who actually used to be our forum moderator back when we had forums.
I love that you picked me to read his comment, because he and I started at Hypeable at the exact same time, literally the same day. So hey, Alex.
Hey, Alex. So glad you're listening.
Yeah, me too. When I saw his name, I was like, what? Okay. But anyway, his comment says, excellent podcast as always. Selena's comment of emoji cast launches next week made me laugh out loud. I mean, as she always does, really. Also, I think you should introduce the show in your southern accent from this point on.
I'll think about it.
So he
don't want to overdo the joke, you know, you have to keep it sort of. Yeah. Anyway, Karen.
He says, I just wanted to comment on the potential return of Xena Warrior Princess. I still think that Xena fans would love to see the show make a comeback because the fond memories we share. The world of Xena captured our imaginations, and its cast of characters made us laugh, cry, and even encouraged us to learn more about history and mythology. I agree with Selena's statement that in today's world, the show could take some of the subtle messages it offered in its original incarnation and really do more with the story. At first, the idea of a reboot of the Xena series seems like a great idea to me. I've always felt that the show ended before its time. But as I think about it more, however, I find myself worried that if it gets rebooted, it would be less than we expect, given how beloved the original is. So you make some very good points.
Very great points. And Alex was talking about submitting a article to Hypeable about this, and I hope he does, because the more Xena articles, the better, in my opinion. So thank you so much for that comment, Alex. Our next one comes from Shelley. Shelley, by the way, is doing her very, very best to get us in trouble on Twitter with the other podcasts. So thanks for that, Shelley.
Tweeting them all, and we're like rivalries, and we're like, what?
No, she's like, uh-oh, Hype threw some shade your way. So we're playing it super nice right now with Millennial and Rewatchable. So so please, let's just keep it civil here, unless of course they start a war, in which case we will go all in and it'll be amazing. I feel like we should aim a little bit higher though, like maybe like call out Serial and see what happens. So anyway, Shelley does have a comment other than getting us in trouble. She says, just paused at Hype to go watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. / Agent Carter Nerd HQ panel, and it's gold. Totally worth looking up. So she's referring to last week, Donya talked about Clark Gregg's comment on diversity in Marvel TV shows. And then we tweeted out the link, and then Clark Gregg actually retweeted our link, and it was, of course, like the one tweet where I make a spelling mistake, so I was pretty bummed about that.
I saw that.
I was happy that he retweeted it. So we can find that on our Twitter account, and I apologize for my spelling. That was the Twitter client that I use, it autocorrects. So sometimes I end up with some really bizarre things if I don't actually double check it. It's super annoying. And Allison, our next comment, do you want to get that, Pam?
Allison says, of course, just after you released this Mockingjay Part 2 and the Scorched... Oh, I see what she's saying. She's talking about the last week's episode, right?
Yes.
Oh, my bad. Okay, let me start over. Of course, just after you released this, Mockingjay Part 2 and the Scorched Trials trailers are released. Isn't that how it always works? Ha ha. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on both of them on the next episode.
Thanks,
so hopefully,
Allison.
Yeah, hopefully we quenched your thirst on that because we talked about both in length. Yeah,
and this just stupid. In, as you're listening to this, there's probably a breaking news story on the site right now.
Probably.
This just in.
Although maybe not, because Selena's wrapped up with us. And
that's true. Yeah. So, but you know, that's always how it is, isn't it? We'll have some giant news. I predict it now. Giant news about Fantastic Beasts. It's going to break today.
If it happens, I swear.
You're psychic.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Probably not, but, you know, I would just start making random predictions each week and hope for the best. So, Merrima, do you want to get the final one from Ingeborg?
Sure. Yeah, Ingeborg says, I think that's Kant. I can't believe Noah mentioned Robin Williams in regard to the live-action Aladdin movie. It won't be the same without him, sad face.
Yeah, we totally failed to mention that.
Yeah, I, you guys suck, but I'm totally on Team Ingeborg. I agree with you.
Where's the shame bell when you actually need it?
Yeah, right? Shame.
Thanks.
We're sorry. I did actually think it, but then we got away from it. Just talk about
to be fair, I've been like conditioned into like avoiding Robin Williams when it comes to the genie at all times, because at Disneyland we have like the genie character and I have to like host him all the time, and people are like, oh, like I miss Robin Williams, and like it's just, it makes every day sad, so, like, we just try to avoid Robin Williams at Disneyland.
I love how you have like a legitimate excuse. It's like she's calling you out and she's like, you're like, nope.
No, I'm like, nope.
Is the genie more popular now than, like, obviously he's always been popular, but has the popularity in the characters?
Yeah. Spiked? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, like, this one guy, he was like, hey, does, like, the genie talk? I'm like, no, like, none of our characters talk. And he was like, oh, because I thought I heard Robin Williams' voice come out of it. I was like,
Wow.
That's a conspiracy theory waiting to happen. Yeah, wow.
Disneyland is meant to be the happiest place on earth, not the most morbid. Jesus.
Exactly.
Then they'll be like, so where do you keep Walt Disney's head?
Oh. In the basketball court. Matterhorn.
Oh wow. But so on that happy note, yeah, sorry about that. We should have brought that up because obviously that is kind of a whole big thing in this genie, like who the hell is gonna play this character, you know? But that wraps up our show for this week. Next week, I don't know if I told the host this. I guess this is our breaking news. I won't be here because I'll be on holiday. I'll be in the sunshine, not on some crappy place in the middle of nowhere. I'll actually be like legitimately on a real holiday.
You're not chopping wood somewhere in the forest?
Not mowing grass?
I mean, if I find an axe lying around, then maybe, you know, I'll feel the need to. But otherwise, no. I mean, I'll just be relaxing. I don't think I can, guys. I do not think I can, but I'll have to give it a go. But so I won't be on. We'll have Andrew back hopefully next week. So that's an incentive for you to listen. And what else? Oh, of course, also, as we talked about earlier in the show, our other hypeable podcast, Hero Hype, will be talking about Ant-Man in depth, and I'll be guesting on that show. Marima is, of course, going to be on it. And Kyle, were you going to be on it or no?
No, Andrew's going to be on it.
All right.
He hasn't been on Hero Hype, and I have.
Right. Okay.
We like to share the love.
Yes. Yeah. And I haven't been on either. I'm so excited. We're going to be such a happy discussion about how much we loved Ant-Man.
I think Donya did genuinely enjoy
it. She did,
So, you know, that will be good. It won't be like Age of Ultron all over again.
Oh, God. I still love that special. I think it was amazing. Me just going, no, but guys, it's really good. So you can check that out. We'll be recording later today and it'll be up on Hypeable soon. I was also just talking about me here. I was also on the last episode of MuggleCast. So if you haven't listened to that, what are you waiting for, guys? Come on. But then that's another. I love how I'm like, that's an incentive to listen. Like people need that.
Yeah, anyway. I hear that show's struggling in popularity.
So I know, right? It's glad that I'm here. They're like, oh, thank God we have the host of Hype. Everything's okay now. Oh, God. Now, Shelly, please don't call us out.
MuggleCast.
Just digging and digging and digging. Oh, so... Yeah, before I get us into any more trouble, I think we should just wrap it up.
We should say goodbye.
You can make amends next week when I'm not here. So just as I said at the beginning of the show, if you want to leave comments for us, you can go to hypeable.com, hypeable.com. You can go on Twitter at hypeablehype, and you can go on Instagram at hypeablehype, where we just got a new picture.
Yay!
So until next time, my name is Selena.
I'm Kyle.
Pamela.
And I'm Marva.
Oh, would you look at that? You got it right! Yay! The time
almost like
is
it's
out.
Written down in the list.
I know, and we're reading it. It's fantastic. 'Discussion and opinion, and you can edit point. I lost my train of thought. I got too excited. And you can find hold on. And Hypeable is, of course, I'm just gonna start that over. That was ridiculous. Okay,
are you just struggling with English? What's happening?
I don't know what's happening. I'm watching
the
little ant move.
English?
Yes, the ant is moving across my screen, and it's super distracting.
Scroll down.
Scrolling down. Okay.